Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, the parent company of Georgia Power beats Wall Street expectations. Gwinnett County will soon get a new life sciences research park, and frustration builds as the government shutdown continues.
Unfortunately, the government is not doing its job, and the people are being screwed because of it.
Today is Thursday, October 30th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. The federal government has been shut down for 30 days as Republicans and Democrats in the Senate continue to spar over the plan to fund the government. Democratic U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock says he'll keep fighting for a plan that extends Affordable Care Act subsidies.
This is a Republican government shutdown. They have the White House, they have the House, they have the Senate. They can open up government anytime they want. But this is a choice that they have made.
Meanwhile, Republicans in the U.S. Senate blame Democrats for the shutdown and say they could also end the shutdown by voting for the Republican continuing resolution that reopens the government without extending ACA subsidies. About 1 in 8 people in Georgia are preparing to cope with the looming pause of Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits if the federal government shutdown does not end. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more.
South Carolina and Louisiana have plans to spend to cover some part of the SNAP gap, but so far Governor Brian Kemp says he won't dip into Georgia's $14.6 billion budget surplus to help feed people during the shutdown. Meanwhile, food banks have already been struggling with shortages since a $1 billion cut to USDA programs in March. Working mom Ashley Stevenson couldn't find any food at either of the two pantries she checked in the city of Macon.
We're looking at feeding 3 kids with barely anything after bills and everything else. Unfortunately, the government is not doing its job, and the people are being screwed because of it.
Stevenson says she doesn't know what her next move will be. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Analysts at the nonprofit Georgia Budget and Policy Institute say Governor Brian Kemp should use state funds to bridge the gap if SNAP benefits run out. GBPI Director of Economic Justice Ife Flinch Floyd says Georgia's elected officials need to step in to ensure people don't go hungry.
If our federal leaders do not take action, our state leaders should be planning to support Georgians who will lose SNAP if there is no federal action. Georgia can take action to provide state funds to help people eat.
The GBPI says Kemp could declare a state of emergency, call a special legislative session, or support food banks. As we heard from GPB's Grant Blankenship, Governor Brian Kemp says he won't use state funds for food aid. He says ending the federal shutdown remains the objective. A memo from the U.S. Department of Agriculture sent to states says they will not be reimbursed if they use state funding to pay for SNAP. The city of Atlanta is pooling its resources and leveraging partnerships to provide food and financial relief to residents affected by the government shutdown. City partners with ATL Cares, like the Atlanta Community Food Bank and Gooder Grocery Stores, will expand services to feed more families, seniors, and federal workers. The food bank will also spend $5 million in reserves to purchase more food. Mayor Andre Dickens also announced a temporary hold on evictions in city properties.
All of the city entities that have housing, we are placing a moratorium on them from eviction. So if individuals, and let's say they don't get paid right now as a federal employee and they can't pay their November 1st rent, then they're not going to be evicted because of that.
The city also suspended water shutoffs for any customers who can't pay their bill. The moratoriums will last until January 31st, 2026. In communities around the country, there are little-known nonprofits that provide often crucial services to thousands of struggling families. These community action agencies do everything from get meals to seniors, run early child care programs, and even help people cut their utility bills in big cities and in small towns. That work is funded by the federal government, which means that whole constellation of services is under threat during the shutdown, too, as GPB's Sophie Gratis explains.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
On a recent cloudy Saturday near Macon's downtown, volunteers in bright yellow vests crowd around pallets of diapers.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
A line of cars, some which arrived at the crack of dawn, waits to meet them.
Here's some wipes for you right here.
Thank you.
Every
Thank
car
you.
That pulls up gets 100 diapers and some wipes. The supplies are passed through open car windows. This diaper drive is a one-day event, but it's part of a larger program run out of Georgia's community action agencies, which are essentially one-stop shops for basic needs. Consuela Thompson, who oversees the state's community action agency organization, says this year alone,
we've probably given out over 400,000 diapers.
The diaper program is funded by a grant from the federal government that Thompson says has not only let them host drives like this, but to also enroll families in a whole host of other services, like early childhood education at the Head Start Center.
And all they came for was the diapers. And we're now addressing all these other situations that are happening within the household.
She says this year has been tough on families.
The rug is getting pulled out from up under people. So if we can provide just a little relief, a little guidance, a little hope, you know, that's why we're here.
Thompson says meeting people's basic needs has never felt controversial. But now she's worried money for the diaper program won't be included in next year's federal budget. Already, the Trump administration has axed funding for a program under the Community Action Agency umbrella that helps people pay their power bills. Right now, the government shutdown poses the most immediate threat to that kind of help, says Tammy Sosby in Warner Robins.
A lot of times we get people that they're not poor. Maybe they're just hit a bump in the road.
Sosby says the Middle Georgia Community Action Agency can last about 2 more months under the shutdown before she has to start laying off staff in her 22-county service area.
And we would have to close those offices, those grassroots offices where people come. They know to come for the assistance.
Assistance with getting basic needs like food and shelter.
I had a lady show up this week to one of my offices. She thought she was going to be evicted, and we were able to help her. It happens on a daily basis, different situations.
While she worries about their inability to continue that work at neighborhood centers, Sosby says her Head Start program has funds through January. Another Head Start in Waycross in southeast Georgia will run out of money this week. Philanthropy is keeping 3 Head Start agencies on a different grant cycle in Metro Atlanta open until mid-December. Lauren Kuntz from the YMCA of Metro Atlanta calls the $8 million bridge loan a radical move to support a program that's historically had bipartisan support.
But let's be very clear. The philanthropic community should not be supplanting federal dollars.
The bridge loan only begins to cover expenses for Head Start compared to federal funding.
This is just a temporary reprieve.
Much like the packages of diapers getting these Middle Georgia families through one more week.
I need a 3, 4, 5 and pull up.
I got you.
For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis in Macon.
The parent company of Georgia Power is reporting earnings that beat Wall Street expectations. Southern Company today reported third quarter net income of more than $1.7 billion. News of these profits comes ahead of an election for 2 seats on the Georgia Public Service Commission, which has approved a series of Georgia Power rate hikes in recent years. 2 Democrats are challenging 2 incumbent Republicans. Election day is Tuesday, November 4th. A Georgia elementary school teacher let go during a fiscal crisis in her district is suing to get her job back. Ashley White was the only art teacher at Hillcrest Elementary School in Dublin. She says the district broke the law when she was asked to resign earlier this month. The State Department of Education has put Dublin City Schools, which is a charter system, on a financial improvement plan as million-dollar budget shortfalls have come to light. White's lawyers argue that the district had no right to fire her because state laws permitting such terminations do not apply to charter districts. The decision in the case could have ramifications for other Dublin City Schools employees who are set to be terminated before their contracts run out. The Develop Fulton Board of Directors has approved an inducement resolution to support the first phase of Forge Atlanta. Forge Atlanta is a downtown development that will include hotels, event spaces, shops, entertainment, and other amenities. Developers say they're planning for open public green spaces, walkable corridors, and transit-oriented design. An inducement resolution is a declaration of intent to issue tax-exempt bonds to finance a project and reimburse prior expenses. The inducement approves more than $223 million. The project is expected to create 3,000 jobs, 900 of which would be permanent. A planned 2,000-acre life sciences research park is moving forward in Metro Atlanta's Gwinnett County. GPB's Orlando Montoya reports the project is modeled after North Carolina's Research Triangle.
About halfway between universities in Athens and Atlanta, the Rowan Center plans to bring together innovators in medicine, agriculture, and the environment. Mason Aylstock is the project's president and CEO.
The reason behind Rowan is that we need to have places that are intentionally bringing together government, industry, and our higher education partners with a sustained vision to take on global challenges.
Aylstock said land and phase one spending amount to a $100 million investment so far. Roads, trails, and underground infrastructure are already in place. Rowan announced this month that bidding has begun for the site's first vertical construction, an anchor building for a future campus that was first conceived almost 20 years ago.
This isn't a one-year project. This is a multi-decade, multi-generational project. So Rowan will have this vision and purpose of curating those partnerships and leaning into global challenges with all of these collaborators for decades ahead.
Rowan's first priority was accumulating the land it needed along U.S. Highway 29 in Decula. Aylstock said respecting that land is a core concept of the Phase 1 design.
This is land that was stewarded by families in Georgia for generations. They sold their land because they believed in the vision of Rowan and what this could mean for other generations coming behind. So we are respecting that with the architecture. You saw that in the design. The theme that our architect worked with was barns and bridges.
The Rowan Village eventually is expected to include residential, retail, meeting and performance spaces, along with its research and academic facilities. Once complete, it's expected to have a huge impact on an 11-county region. The Rowan Center says it could amount to 18,000 jobs by 2035. The project's partners so far include educational institutions like Emory University, Georgia Tech, and the University of Georgia, as well as companies like Intuitive Surgical, AGCO, and Meissner. Groundbreaking is expected in early 2026. For GPB News, I'm Orlando Montoya.
A $180,000 Range Rover customized for NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal has been reported stolen in Georgia. The car was supposed to be transported to Baton Rouge but never arrived. The car was being customized for Shaq's height and other upgrades. Effortless Motors is offering $10,000 for information to help find the vehicle. Multiple businesses were involved in its transport, and authorities are looking into a potential hack of the transport company's system.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Atlanta Dogwood Festival will return for its 90th year after facing significant financial challenges. Festival officials said yesterday they received incredible support from the community, corporate partners, and the city of Atlanta. As of yesterday, the festival said it raised more than $71,000, and the city of Atlanta agreed to allow the festival to charge a nominal entrance fee. They'll charge $5 on Friday and $10 on Saturday and Sunday. The Dogwood Festival takes place every spring at Atlanta's Piedmont Park and is one of Georgia's longest-running arts and music festivals. Officials said they will continue their fundraising efforts to secure the Dogwood's long-term future. In sports, in the NBA, Atlanta Hawks guard Trae Young has sprained his right knee yesterday in a game against the Brooklyn Nets. Coach Quinn Snyder says Young will get an MRI, adding that early tests have found Young did not tear his ACL. The Hawks beat the Nets 117-112, and the Hawks now head to Indiana to face the Pacers tomorrow. And that is a wrap on Georgia Today. As always, we appreciate you tuning in, and we hope you'll come back tomorrow, so make sure you subscribe to this podcast. And if you're looking for updates to any of the stories you heard today, or you just want to read the latest news, go to gpb.org/news. We always welcome your feedback, and we'd love to hear from you by email. When you email georgiatoday@gpb.org, it's going to go to the whole team. Again, that email address, georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.